Church, welcome. Welcome, Amherst Baptist Church. Welcome, Willow Ridge. Wakey, wakey, if you're out there and sleeping in bed. We welcome you to join with us in worship this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, even when we're outside. Come on in, don't worship from afar. We're just going to relax with some fairly familiar songs this morning.
So if you've been with us for the last several weeks, we've been in Luke chapter 8, and there have been a few different stories, and so that's the context of what we're going to do today. If you got a bulletin this morning, inside there's a kind of a note-taking sheet if you'd like to follow along. And the front of that is this first part of the story that we're going to talk about. The context of today's story is following what has happened in those past few weeks. 3 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus getting into a boat and saying, let's go to the other side, and there's a huge storm. You recall that. And the disciples came to him and said, well, don't you care? We're going to die. And he said, peace, be still. And the storm stopped. And so Jesus was there. His presence and power was there to bring peace. Then the week after that, he said, get in the boat to go to the other side, because he went to the region of the Gadarenes across Galilee. And there was a man there who was possessed by a multitude of demons. And Jesus showed up, met the man, freed him from that to give him joy that comes from the freedom from the things that bind us. And so today we have Jesus returning. Now, it's not clear from Scripture whether where exactly he's returning to. Some commentators suggest it must be Capernaum, because that was his kind of his headquarters. And so he's returning to that area. It's not clear whether it was Capernaum or not, but there were enough people there. There was a crowd waiting for him when he returned. And so that's where we're picking up. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. So if you want to have your Bible open to follow the story, if you didn't get a chance to read it this week, I'm hopeful that you read through it and you know what's about to happen. But since we're having a picnic today, we're going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to tell the story sort of in a skit, if you will. And just to let you know, we didn't really rehearse too much, like at all. So we'll see how it works, but it'll be fun, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you're in the back, you might want to move forward. It's all going to happen up here. So let me introduce the players from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. First person we meet, other than Jesus, and I'll talk about him in a minute, Jesus has just returned. He hits the beach, and there's a crowd waiting for him. The first of whom is named is a fellow by the name of Jairus. Steve. I'm going to have Steve just sit down over here for a minute while I explain who Jairus is. Jairus is the synagogue ruler. He's a synagogue leader, and so he's well-respected. It's a pretty good chance that he is a Pharisee, being in that caring for the synagogue, choosing who's going to read Scripture this week, all that kind of stuff. That was his role. He's well-respected in the community. But he has a 12-year-old daughter who is dying, dead. Matthew says she's already dead. Luke says she's dying. She's at death's door. But that's his 12-year-old daughter. And so Jairus is going to come to Jesus and plead that she be healed, that she be made well. That's number one. Number two, we have a woman who has had this illness. She's been bleeding for 12 years. Laura, where are you? Over here. Okay. So, right over here in this chair. So this woman who's had this illness, this disease, for 12 years, she's gone to doctors, and she's gone to more doctors, and she's spent everything she's had. Not only is she not getting better, she is getting worse. And so we're going to find that she comes to Jesus also as her last hope of being healed. Now, it's not just enough to talk to you about the fact that she was bleeding for 12 years, but what that means is she was unclean for 12 years. She was not allowed to be in society. She was not allowed to touch anyone. No one was allowed to touch her. If you brushed up against, we'll call her Janet. If you were to brush up against Janet, you would be unclean till evening. You have to take a bath, wash your clothes, and you're unclean till evening for 12 years. So she had been set aside from society by everyone, probably including her family. If they were devout in their faith, she was unclean, and they were not to be with her. Got the story so far? Okay, now Jairus has a wife. Steve has a wife. Yay! It's a miracle. True that. So Jairus' wife, and we're going to call her Julia, this is her only line.
Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. Because they together have a 12-year-old daughter. Where is she? Here, come on. Danielle! She is dying. She's at death's door. We're going to call her Jennifer. Okay, there's a couple more characters. Let me come back, talk about Jesus for just a minute. I'm going to play Jesus. Oh, sure. Now, it's not clear that Jesus necessarily wore a prayer shawl everywhere he went, but as a rabbi, he may have. But the point is, Jesus, as a good Jewish man, would have tassels on his clothes. Numbers 15:38 tells them to put tassels on the corners of their clothing. Not only tassels, but with blue thread. And that tassel was to remind them to be obedient to the word of God. And so if you had tassels on your robe or on all four corners, no matter where you turned, there was a reminder to be obedient to the word of God. And so Jesus, whether he wore a prayer shawl or whether he wore a robe, he had tassels on his garments. And as you, if you've read the story, you know that's the woman comes, if I could just touch, I could be made well. Okay, one more player, kind of mentioned in passing here. When Jennifer finally passes, Julia sends someone from her house to go tell Jairus that she's gone. So, Sam, come on up here. Sam is going to be that messenger from the house of Jairus. And if you'll just sit here. And we're going to call him Sam. Good call. Good call. Okay, so we have Jairus and Janet, Julia and Jennifer, and Sam. And Jesus. And so we're going to play that narration out in just a moment. But first, I need a crowd. And so the kids, if you'd come up here, I'm going to call you back here, and I'm going to explain to you what I need you to do. So the kids that always come forward for Children's Church, come on up. Back up that way just a little bit. Okay. So we've got Jesus returning from the other side of the lake. And as he lands, wherever that is, Capernaum or someplace else, there's been a crowd that has gathered. They're waiting for him. And so here we have our crowd. And one of those crowds, and the first one in Scripture who is said to speak out, is Jairus.
Jesus, 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 we've been looking for you. Where have you been? I have a daughter at home. She's on death's door. She's so close to death. Why are you smiling? This isn't funny. Help us, Jesus Christ. You're our only hope.
And so Jesus went with him, and the crowd was around him and pushing in. And as they went to take care of, where's Jairus? So he should be leading the way over here. He's old. Okay. Takes a minute to get up. And so as they're going, Jesus is he's trying to answer this man's request, and these other people are pressing around. And while he's going, other things are happening. Who touched me? And the disciples, Peter, James, and John, say, what do you mean, who touched you? People are pressing in all over the place. What do you mean, who touched you? And Jesus says, somebody touched me, because I felt power go out of me. And so when it was clear that she wasn't going to get away with it, Janet...
It was I have been bleeding and unclean for 12 years, and I thought if I could just touch your clothes, I would be made well.
Now, one of the reasons, you can stand up. One of the reasons One of the reasons she thought touching his robe might do it, number one, Jesus had been healing people all along. He'd been traveling to different villages and so forth. But there's also, in addition to the, on your note sheet, there's a scripture in Numbers that talks about the tassels. But in Malachi 4:2, it says, the Son of Righteousness will come with healing in his wings. And that terminology of in his wings is the same as in the corner. When Ruth goes to Boaz and says, cover me with the corner of your robe, it's cover me with your wings. And so there's this somewhat nebulous prophecy that the Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings, in his robe, in his presence. And so in this way, she announces that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of Righteousness. And so Jesus turns to her and says, daughter, it's the first person he's ever called, only person he's ever called daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. The faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. Same thing he said to the woman who anointed his feet with oil several weeks back, or with perfume, excuse me. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, reconciled to God, and free from your affliction. Amen. So then we continue, and it's at the same time he's dealing with that, Jennifer is gone. Got a crowd over there, maybe? Got some mourners over there? Paid mourners. When there was someone who died, they would hire people to come and cry. And they knew she was dead. There was no question in their mind. And so Sam comes to tell Jairus. Where's Sam?
Your daughter is dead.
No!
Don't bother the teacher anymore.
It's like a million voices just silenced.
Silence, just like that. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. And so they continue to Jairus' house. And the mourners, they're making just a ruckus. Come on, let's hear a ruckus. And they would call out her name. But she would still be dead. She would not be laughing. And Jesus came, and the crowd came with, and he said, what's all this commotion about? She's not dead, she's just sleeping. And the mourners, they kind of turn on him and say, what, are you crazy?
What are you crazy?
We know she's dead.
We know she's dead.
We do this for a living. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. Y'all can leave, except Jennifer, her mom and dad, and Peter, James, and John. You guys can go sit down. Sam, you can go. So I got Peter, James, and John. We're not done yet. Peter, James, and John, they are now, in this time, the first time identified as that inner circle that hangs out with Jesus. Next chapter, they're going to be the three people he takes with him when he goes to the top of the mountain. And we talk about the transfiguration. These are the three same guys that are in the Garden of Gethsemane when he goes away and he talks to the disciples. He says, you guys stay here. And he takes Peter, James, and John a little deeper in. So these are his inner circle, his closest disciples, and is probably his closest friends in that regard. And so they together come in to Jennifer. And Jesus says, little girl, get up. And she gets up, and the parents are crazy, joyful.
Oh, we have a new hope.
As Jesus brings healing even there. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. So I want you to think about that. They came to Jesus as their last hope.